thinking big thoughts so you don't have to.
I voted.
Here's John Williams.
Don't want to brag, but I voted. Voted citizen here. Had to pull one of the primary ballots. I had to go Democrat or Republican. I noticed something today. I'll ask you if you noticed that too, and I've got a couple of questions for you in this first half hour about the whole cockamamie process. By the way, congratulations to Vladimir Putin. But I don't think you get to call that an election. You can congratulate him on whatever you want. You can say, hey, dude, I understand that you bullied the people into six more years, or whatever it is you did. You are the Stalin now of the new Russia. But, dude, you do not get to call that an election.
73% of the vote.
Brenda and I were walking to the polling place today, and I said, I wonder what percent Putin won by. And we both laughed because we knew it would be a large number. 73%, frankly, I want to know who those 27 are and what rock they're hiding under.
Right.
I mean, that's courage. That, my friend, is courage. I don't know who the 27%ers are in Russia, but God bless you.
You think we're data mined on how we vote and what we pull?
They don't need no Facebook.
No.
They're standing behind the shuffalera. They're just watching you. They know. Trust me, they know. They know. Wow. All right. Yeah, so happy for him. And happy for all of us as we sort of execute our great right here in America of voting. Now, I know most of you aren't going to vote today, and I guess that's a privilege you have as well. But I am wearing red, white, and blue cufflinks. And I thanked the people at the polling place today. I felt like I should go get some cookies or salads or something for them and bring them back because they have long days and they don't make any, you know, they make, I think, about enough money to pay for their parking. So if you are an election judge or official, we very much appreciate your service to that process we call elections, democracy, and voting here
in America.
This
is your first vote ever as a Chicagoan,
yeah.
How much did you make?
Did you get a turkey?
You guys. I was surprised, though, because I pulled the, it says here, notice to all, I pulled the Democrat ballot. It says, notice to all Democratic voters. I suppose you got this. No, you wouldn't have got this as a Republican. But notice to all Democratic voters, Andrea Rayla was removed as a candidate for county assessor by court order. She was on, she was off, she was on, she was off. I was told she was on. She told us last week that you could vote for her. We interviewed her on this show last week. She said her votes would count. I walked in and they said, you can't vote for Andrea Rayla. Which is probably good for Fritz Kagi as he runs against the incumbent Joseph Berrios in the suddenly interesting Cook County Assessor's Office race. But I didn't think that was going to be the case. I got this big green and white piece of paper. Notice to all Democrat voters, Andrea Rayla was removed as a candidate. Votes for number 82, Andrea Rayla, will not be counted or reported. So that was surprising to me as a Cook County resident. I'm not saying I was going to vote for her. I'm not saying who I was going to vote for on that one. But I was told by her, we gave her some airtime because that's been an intriguing race for a lot of different reasons. They also had on our Cook County ballot some referenda. Boy, here's a moment of truth. Shall the state of Illinois legalize the cultivation, manufacture, distribution, testing, and sale of marijuana and marijuana products for recreational use? By adults 21 and older, subject to state regulation, taxation, and local ordinance. It's not a binding referendum, but it's a message to the state government. Do you want to sell marijuana for recreational reasons? We'll treat it like tobacco and alcohol. You got to be 21 and we'll tax it. We'll tax it. It doesn't say we'll tax it, but we'll tax it. So how about that? I'm looking at that, and I thought, boy, I'm just so liberal. I'm just so mouthy about this thing. Am I really going to say yes? Am I really going to complete the arrow from left to right that says yes? That was not an easy vote for me. And then to the voters of the city of Chicago, it says, should Governor Rauner act to protect the 650,000 Illinois residents who obtained health insurance through the Affordable Care Act by supporting legislation amending the Illinois Insurance Code to preserve important benefits like pediatric services and maternity care and yada, yada, yada? These questions are just a little leading, is my point. I mean, no, I don't want him to support legislation to preserve important benefits. Who needs important benefits? I said. This one says, to the voters of the city of Chicago, should Governor Rauner support legislation to ban firearm bump stocks and strengthen penalties on illegal gun traffickers? Now, to me, that's a very leading question. I think we're all for strengthening the penalties on illegal gun traffickers. I don't know if that's going to do any good, but it doesn't seem to do any harm. And maybe there's a percentage of you that want bump stocks, but I don't think there's a lot of you. That's one thing that you'll get to vote on in Cook County and I guess the city of Chicago. And then there was this one on my ballot. Should the state of Illinois develop a comprehensive strategy to address the recent rise in opioid-related and heroin-related deaths, including committing additional state resources for treatment and requiring health insurers to cover opioid alternatives and limitations on prescription length? So they get a little wordy there. But at the end of the day, I think most of us would look at that and go, well, sure, but I'm not exactly sure what I'm signing up for. Like, but so what are we going to do again?
But right, how much extra is that I have to pay?
Right. That doesn't say. Should the state of Illinois develop a comprehensive strategy to address the rise in opioid-related and heroin-related deaths? That's what they're asking.
The ethical thing felt like putting yes.
Oh, hell yeah.
I mean, yes felt like the ethical thing, no matter whether it's
for sure.
Text.
Right. So then you go, oh, wait, but it's going to cost us $1 zillion and maybe it won't work. But frankly, remember, these are non-binding questions. It's just saying, hey, what do you think?
But they're going to use the results of these to further...
Oh, sure. They'll,
their
then
agenda.
Right. So then they'll say, well, their agenda may not be a bad thing either, right?
But it, no, but that's the whole point, right?
Yeah.
Now, look, 75% of Cook County residents want this.
Right. So we should do it. Yeah. So those were, and then here's another thing. We're not putting any of the candidates on the radio today. Some of them have asked to come on. We said, no, we don't think that's appropriate. But, Steve, did you get a robocall today from one of the candidates?
Well, I left the house pretty early, so I don't know if they've come today. But, man, they, you know.
Yesterday? Recently?
Jeannie just keeps calling.
Call her back, Steve.
Come on, Jeannie. We talk on the radio sometimes. You don't have to call me at home.
Yeah. I haven't gotten one robocall. Although, how are you getting those calls? On your landline?
Yeah.
You have a landline?
You pick it up?
Who's on your voicemail box? Is it the whole family? Saying, hi, it's Steve. And then everyone says their name.
You know, you're a mean person sometimes.
No, I'm just wondering.
This is the Bertrands. And all the kids say, leave a message.
No, I've led
the beep.
I've led the fight to get rid of the landline, but it doesn't cost us anything.
Right.
It's a bundle, yeah.
And, you know, maybe there'll be a thing where cell phone service is wiped out in a landline, which does not require electricity. So if you didn't have... electricity long enough, you couldn't recharge your phones, but your landline would still be working.
Blah, blah, blah. No, that's not true because all our phones are plugged in now, too, though. Oh, no, I do have one plugged into the wall.
You need to make sure you just have one of those old-fashioned things you plug right into the wall, and whatever current that requires is there, and so your landline will work when you might not have access. Say it's an apocalypse. Say it's the Canadians,
right.
Whoever's going to come and get us.
I'll call 911. Hey, it's an apocalypse.
Leave a message after the beep.
Yeah, I haven't gotten any robocalls, Steve, because maybe they've tried to call my cell phone. But the thing is, what's a robocall sound like? What does a robocall to the Bertrand house sound like?
Hi, this is Representative Jeannie Ives. And then she goes on.
But you've hung up by then, right? I mean, I have.
It'd be rude.
Well, I don't think it is. Steve Bertrand is such a sweet boy. He won't even hang up on a robocall pre-recorded by somebody that may not, you know, have the same views as him. Maybe he does, but whatever.
But I used to work for a campaign, and we would actually make the calls, you know, to make sure people were registered to vote.
Well, now that's better. That's different. That's different. But I'm getting, what have I gotten? I get robocalls from... companies trying to sell me something.
Yeah.
I got a call from Ambassador John Bolton. Hello, this is Ambassador John Bolton.
What did he want you to do?
I didn't get that far.
Do you ever talk back to them?
Oh, I yell at them.
Well, that's the thing. Do you think, say you're, I don't know who you are, but maybe you're thinking about voting for Jeannie Ives or Bruce Rauner, or maybe you're not going to vote for either of them. But if you get a robocall from Jeannie Ives, Does that help or hurt the cause? I just think people are so trying to insulate themselves from that, that if you do that, I'm not sure that helps.
You're more annoyed at that person for calling you and disturbing you at home?
A little bit.
Yeah. But I guess it's just name recognition. No publicity is bad, right?
In the history of robocalls, has anybody said, huh, thanks pre-recorded voice during my dinner?
That was delightful.
Yes, I think I'll change my views.
You know, Jesse Ventura, you're right.
He didn't place a call to you, did he? That was my Jesse Ventura.
It's Richard Boykin.
I know. Who?
All right, kids, do you know how to spell Boykin?
I don't.
I don't either, but I'm just saying, I don't know, conversation starter, I guess.
I'm Richard Boykin. So that's just a couple of the thoughts and observations we had on this, the first day of spring.
I wish you bluebirds.
I play this on the first day of spring.
In the spring.
Every year, it's the best song.
To give your heart a song to sing. And then a kiss. But more than this. I wish you love.
That's what we wish for you on the first day of spring. Wish it was a little warmer.
And in July, a lemonade to cool you in some leafy glee. I wish you health, but more than wealth. Wish you love.
I'm sending that one out to my girlfriend, to whom I remain married. It's 119 on WGN. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Your questions, comments, and observations about how the voting went for you today and how robocalling and texting is working for you comes up next on WGN. Oh, let me also mention this. We'll do the news, a full newscast with Steve in 11 minutes. I see. The president said something interesting today. And another woman is suing to get out of another Trump-associated non-disclosure agreement. That story at 1:30 as well. Let's start with Mary. Is it Mary Lou or just Mary? Mary, this is John. You're on the air. Hi.
Hi, John. You were discussing robocalls. Well, I've been getting text messages from a candidate out here in the 14th Congressional District. And this candidate has, this campaign has my first name as well as my cell phone number.
Hmm.
So that's really unnerving for me.
Yeah. It's funny because I get stuff consistently from Donald Trump. I'm not making this up. Somehow or another, I'm on his list. And it's not Facebook Messenger. It's text messages from the Trump campaign. And they've got all sorts of pitches to raise money. I don't remember if they use your first name, though, huh?
They use my first name, and it is my cell phone. It is not Messenger. It is my cell phone.
Yeah, yeah. Makes you more...
I did reply to tell them to remove it because I find it an intrusion on
Sure. And, has that worked? Maybe it's too soon to tell, huh? Hopefully it works.
It's early, yes. Yeah, it's early, yes.
Good luck to you. Thanks, Mary.
Thanks, John.
This is line two. Fred, you're on WGN. What can we do for you?
Yes, two comments. The robocalls, I let the answering machine get them.
Yep.
And then I delete it.
Yep.
And the second one is the election judges get at least $10 an hour because I know somebody who's working it.
Yep.
They're getting $10 an hour. So that's a pretty good chunk of change.
Thanks for the phone call. I don't think that's a lot of money, $10 an hour. The people at my polling place said they're not getting minimum wage. I don't know how that's legal. But say you're getting $12 an hour. And you work 5 hours. Well, that's $60. Where I live, 15 of that will go to park. Do they give you a stipend for lunch? All I'm saying is thank them. Thank them for doing what seems to be a boring, thankless job. And it's sort of like being a firefighter. You know, every day you just sit around. But then all of a sudden a crisis may erupt. Somebody may say, hey, I've got an issue here. And they're very agitated and you need to know the rules and laws. You need to be able to intervene and help that person. Why isn't my name on the polls? Or how come that person got to vote? I don't envy them for having to put out those potential fires. This is Nina. I think it's Nina. You're on WGN. Hi, Nina.
Hi. Glad you took my call. I want to correct your comment about Aurelia not having her vote counted.
Andrea Rayla, yeah.
Yes, she was on Chicago Tonight last night and said, yes, she's on the ballot and her votes will be counted.
Yeah, her name is definitely on the ballot, and I've got a great big notice here saying that they will not be counted or reported.
That seems to be a mistake in looking at some of the stories I'm looking at, John. David Cameron here is going to be on a conference call with the Board of Elections in a few minutes. We'll ask them about it. But what I'm reading is that an appeals court put her back on the ballot.
Yeah, well, her name appears there, and she told us her votes will count. And then they handed me this. So I said to the guy, this is the truth. I said, I spoke to Andrea Rayla about this. She said votes for her will count. And the man told me, I'm sorry, this is the latest information we were given. At 5 a.m. today, they said, hand these to the voters. 5 a.m.
Wow. Last night, she acknowledged that she knew about that notice and that it wasn't true.
Boy, this is screwed up. You know, if she loses, I think she has every right in the world to contest this election and have a special election for the Cook County Assessor's Office, which is already mired in every level of controversy you could ask for. But I would love to see a fair horse race, and this does not strike me as one. If her votes count, and as you go to vote, they say don't vote for her, that's not a fair election. That just can't be true.
I agree. That's why I called. Thank you for taking my call.
Steve's going to double check on that because it sounds, Steve, to repeat your statement.
Yeah, so from what I'm seeing, the latest reporting was that she should be back on the ballot. And in fact, she's out there today saying she's got several, almost 75, 100 subpoenas of people who apparently said they were told not to vote for her.
Yeah.
And she's already calling for an investigation.
At the bottom of this, you know, we have a friend over at the Board of Elections, commissioners. Let's reach out to them, too. I know you're going to participate in a conference call, Steve, but at the bottom of this notice, it says these court orders were issued after ballots were printed and after touch screens were programmed. Now, that may be true, but then it could have been a subsequent court order that, in fact, negated this one.
Eric Rung, a Channel 9 and WGN radio reporter, is tweeting out that Rayla says election judges placed the wrong flyers in the booths on tables.
Oh, yeah, I got
saying
it.
That the votes for her would not
They
count.
Were all over my place, and I had a conversation with three of them about this morning at 11 a.m. Let's see, when did we vote, Elle? If I bumped into you there, that was about 9 a.m. But if those polling places opened at 5, there was at least 4 hours in Chicago's Lakeview neighborhood where people were told not to vote for her.
And those are the notices with the green at the top?
Mm-hmm. Steve, you said you had something else to play?
I'm getting close to it here, John. I'm trying to find. We just heard from the Board of Elections, and they described the situation that's going on here. Now, I heard this Judy Pilak and David Cameron have been rolling on it, so I haven't heard it all myself, but let's just listen to Jim Allen here from the Chicago Board of Elections.
Assessor's contest. We had a handful of complaints this morning. By a handful of complaints, I mean about a handful of precincts. We had handed out to the key judges, meaning that there's a key judge in each precinct, and when they picked up their envelopes over this past weekend, we had provided them with the updated notice that reflected the latest court decision. So it was intentionally a different color. It was a black and white notice. And we also included in the instructions, do not hand out, do not post any of the green and white notices. In addition to that, we sent out emails to all of our judges over this past weekend. We sent out text messages this morning to our poll workers. And when we started to receive a few complaints here and there, we sent out another batch of text messages, and we sent out also additional word to our investigators to make sure that none of these are being handed out. So although we received a small number of complaints in the morning hours, those complaints have completely fallen off. We have not had any documentation or calls we had on a Reddit feed, for example, someone sent us a photo around 7 a.m. We had that taken care of by 7:30 a.m. and they were not handing them out. after that, and yet we still were hearing, you know, this about this same precinct in this email 4 hours later, as if it were still an issue, and it wasn't. So all three candidates have been on the ballot all along. You know, we're making every effort possible to comply with the latest court order, and we don't think that this was a widespread pattern.
So there you go, John Williams. I'm assuming the sheet of paper you're holding in your hand is green and white.
And I got it later than he said people were still getting it. I got this around 9:30 this morning, and it says, notice to all Democratic voters, Andrea Rayla was removed as a candidate for county assessor by court order. Votes for number 82, Andrea Rayla, will not be counted or reported. These court orders were issued after ballots were printed.
So that's form that they would have sent out. Was the original one, and then they got a new one saying that she was back on the ballot.
And that new one that said she's back on the ballot didn't get to my precinct. Now, I don't know how it was at other polling places, but I'm telling you, I asked the judges specifically about this. I said, I talked to Andrea Rayla. She said my votes for her do count. They said, we got this at 5 this morning. This is the latest information. I didn't vote for her why throw away a vote?
Was there more than one judge involved in your conversation?
Yes. I talked to three people. In fact, I had two separate conversations. When I was first given my ballot and the cover sheet that gives for your privacy, they then hand me this, and I said, oh, I thought she was on the ballot. They go, nope. And then a little later on, I have to talk to somebody else about something else. And I said, you know, it's funny because I talked to Andrea Rayla, et cetera. They go, nah, this is the latest. At 5 o'clock this morning, they said, hand these out.
Well, what strikes me is that it's a little more understandable if you talk to one person who might not have gotten the information, but they said they sent the texts out, they sent alerts to the judges, and if you had three people involved in the conversation, that's a little more damning.
And Steve, these green and white notices are all over the polling place. I mean, you know, people leave them in the where you go to vote. Some people just leave it there. It's a separate sheet of paper. I saw one on the ground outside the polling place. If you're voting in the Lakeview neighborhood I voted in, you are specifically told not to vote for Andrea Rayla. That's a fact. And I know that the guy that you just had on, that's the same guy that we had on, right? He wasn't there, but what he was saying is not true.
Well, he was speaking to a specific precinct, and we don't know that it was yours.
Okay, then it's right? Even worse, right?
I mean, because then it's more than one,
that was absolutely my experience. And if it happened in your, hey, listen, if you voted in Cook County and you pulled a Democrat ballot, did you get the green notice saying don't vote for Andrea Rayla? You need to call me right now, 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. Violetta, what was the text or the tweet that you saw about this?
Yeah, I saw a tweet from Chicago Tonight's Paris Schultz. He was saying that Rayla's lawyer, Frank Avila, was saying that he wants an immediate halt to the assessor's election and a special election scheduled for the future. So, I mean, the incompetence here is incredible, especially with the back and forth. You'd think it would be a clear across the board on election day what to do.
Everybody knew this was a big vote this time.
And a huge controversy.
The Tribune has been running an editorial page series about this assessor's office, specifically telling you who to vote for and who not to vote for, and they've been running it for weeks now.
I don't know how they dropped the ball on this.
How do they not know that every single packet that goes out, and there's probably hundreds of them, but that can't happen, and it did. So I don't know who's going to win. I don't know. I don't care who you vote for. All I'm saying is that should not happen, and she's got a case. I don't know. You know, maybe they'll say that the margin of votes was such that even if everybody in my precinct voted for her, it wouldn't have made up the difference. But it's hard
but
to count.
But the back and forth, you can't discount hearing don't vote for her.
That's what I mean. So really, she could just say, look, who knows how many votes I would have got if you hadn't told people not to vote for me.
Or, you know, you telling someone who's not in your precinct and
absolutely
didn't get that. Well, just automatically goes, oh, you know, I can't vote for her.
I started this radio show at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, 6 hours before the polls closed, going, that's weird. I was told not to vote for a candidate. And in fact, that candidate was an eligible recipient of my votes. Okie dokie. It's one. we'll try and get the guy on from the Cook County Board of Elections on, and we'll see how that plays out. You know, go ahead and vote. and then they'll have to figure it out after the fact. It's 1:45 on WGN. Lots of phone calls about this. And also, there's another story that's in the news this week. You've probably been following it. It is the story of what happened in Tempe, Arizona. One of those Uber cars that does not have a driver, but in fact had a woman behind the wheel of, I think it was an XC90, the Volvo. I've had one of those cars. They're great cars. It's one of these test cars for Uber. They got a lot of them in Arizona, and they are driverless. So you don't have to be operating the vehicle as it takes you where you want to go. I would not be comfortable with them using Chicago as a test city for that. I'm just saying. But there they are. And one of those ran into a woman on a bicycle. She was either walking or riding her bicycle Sunday night about 10 o'clock through the street, not through a crosswalk. And she was hit and killed. So what happened and what does that mean? Coming up next on WGN.
How much fun is Loyola Chicago? Come on. Of course, you would think, as Coach Porter Moser joins us, Coach, you would think with a 98-year-old best friend of the team, you'd quit winning in the last 2 seconds. You're almost going to kill me.
I think that's a little divine intervention by her part.
The Proud Chicago Conversation.
Being from the Chicago area, I've been a diehard Chicago sports fan my whole life, and to have a little piece of Chicago's pride in this run is so much fun.
The Steve Cochran Show follows the Loyola Ramblers in the Sweet 16. Mornings this week on 720 WGN.
What is it costing you in vet bills for that convenience of just pulling open a bag of
formulated, extruded, processed cereal bits that cost a ton of money anyways?
How do you feed your dog to derive not only energy, but a good coat, bright eyes, and a great attitude?
Come to Dinovite for help.
DINOVITE.com.
I found his raw meat diet on Dinovite.com.
With just the raw meat and the eggs and the Dinovite and the Super Omega on top of it.
Try Super Omega fish oil.
Buy two, get one free.
Ground beef, white rice, eggs, including the shells, and the Dinovite supplement, and then the LicoChops.
Try LicoChops. Buy two, get one free.
It just balances out his body and his mind and his spirit.
Adding Dinovite to their diet has every single dog in my kennel looking better than they have ever looked.
Their skin is so much better now that they're on the raw diet. I don't even give them the kibble anymore.
DINOVITE.com.
It's 1:48 on WGN. Let's go back to that story we were talking about in Arizona. On a phone line is Ryan Rondazzo. He is a reporter out there. Ryan, it's John Williams, and you're on WGN Radio in Chicago. How are you?
Doing great, thanks.
I appreciate your patience in giving us a little of your time. We're following an election which has suddenly turned controversial here in Chicago, a name on the ballot. People were given flyers saying you should not vote for this person, your vote won't count. It appears as though votes for that candidate will, and we'll update our listeners on that in 8 minutes. Meanwhile, what happened in Tempe? A woman in a Volvo was in an accident with a pedestrian, a woman on or riding a bicycle, walking or riding a bicycle. The pedestrian was struck and killed, correct?
Correct, and she was struck by a self-driving Volvo operated by Uber down in the city of Tempe. These things are operating throughout the day, actually picking up passengers if you're traveling within certain parts of the city.
So I understand that Tempe is sort of a testing city or site for these. Is that true?
Yeah, sort of the whole Phoenix metro area. So we have just dozens of these Uber vehicles operating in Tempe and Scottsdale. We've got Waymo operating over in Chandler and parts of Phoenix. Waymo, of course, is shares a parent with Google. We have General Motors cars driving around parts of Scottsdale. Just because of our weather here, a lot of auto manufacturers like to test vehicles in general, and so as they began to test self-driving cars, we sort of became the testing hotbed for that technology.
And you're all cool with that?
Well, definitely people have some safety concerns. When Waymo first brought its vehicles here, they were involved in 3 accidents right away, but all of those accidents were the fault of other drivers, usually rear-ending them. It was actually the first time a drunk driver hit one of these self-driving cars. So the vast majority of accidents have been the fault of other drivers. This accident that occurred Sunday night was in a dark area, sort of near Arizona State University, but near a bridge and some desert areas. and it appears a homeless woman who is pushing a bicycle across the street in the middle of the block, so outside of the crosswalk in a dark area, stepped in front of this self-driving car. It doesn't look like the driver would have been cited even if they had been driving a regular car. But the promise of these self-driving cars is that they're going to be safer and that they can see in the dark with their LIDAR and sensor technology. And so it looks like all that technology failed in this instance and didn't recognize that there was somebody jaywalking in the middle of the block.
Yeah, although it also sounds like it's not the fact that the driverless car was less safe. It was maybe as safe as you or I would have been. And is it possible, Ryan, that if people are careless enough or want to take their lives, you can still get in the way of a driverless car? The things aren't foolproof. I wonder if this story isn't as alarming as it sounded at first blush.
Yeah, well, I think the alarm factor comes in as, you know, we see people hit pedestrians all the time. We've actually had a string recently where there were like 10 pedestrians hit and killed by cars in a matter of a couple of weeks. But when a robot does it, it's a lot scarier because you feel like there's no control over that.
Right, right.
You're correct that, you know, they're not fail-proof. Someone could step in front of one at the last second, just like they could a train. And
well, here's
they're not.
And I don't like the idea of these things. Trust me, I'm too much of a troglodyte here to embrace this emerging technology, at least not very quickly. But what I'm trying to resist the temptation is to say, aha, see, I told you so, those robot cars, those driverless cars aren't safe, when in fact it can be the people that are making the mistakes, and not necessarily the automated cars.
Yeah, and people can make mistakes so bad that the robot car can't correct for it.
Right.
So, you know, there was another accident last year where a driver made a left turn in front of one of these Uber cars, and they collided, and it was a pretty bad accident. The Volvo ended up on its side, and that was during rush hour, so, of course, we had lots of witnesses.
Sure, sure, sure.
And that raised concerns over it.
Agreed, but that's another example to me of, in that case, you see this driverless car on its side, and you go, wow, the thing was out of control. Somebody ran into it and knocked it over, as I understand, correct?
Correct. And the response from the self-driving car proponents is, well, if everyone was in a self-driving car, the first car would have made the mistake.
I'm not laughing, but it is just kind of a fantastic thing for us to get our heads around, and which is the right side to be on, the right side of technology, if you will. Should we embrace this or not? I guess it's maybe too small a sample size to draw any major conclusions here, huh?
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think the concern now is, you know, is everyone comfortable here being the test bed, being the guinea pig, so to speak?
Yeah.
So even if this promises to be safer one day, is it safe enough today? And is it okay, to be testing this on public roads?
You're terrific on this, Ryan. Ryan Randazzo is the autonomous driving expert. Yes, they have one at azcentral.com in Phoenix. I hope we can visit again. Again, I appreciate your patience. Well done, Ryan, and thanks for joining us today.
Thanks a lot. You have a great day.
Thinking big thoughts so you don't have to.
Well,
here's John Williams.
As big as we can get them. It's 207. We're in the Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue. Hi, it's John Williams. Please like me.
Lord,
wherever you find me, I'm on Facebook, Twitter, and on that thing called Instagram. I guess that's a going concern. I'm WGN King John on all of those platforms, and here at WGN Radio, you can just call me King John or John. I'll answer to any of them. I'm also on Saturdays from 10 a.m. until noon, and we have a pretty fun show on Saturdays as well. One last note, The Mincing Rascals is a weekly podcast we record here on Thursdays. We're going to do a very special abbreviated edition of it tomorrow. I don't know if you know that, Steve. We're doing The Mincing Rascals tomorrow as well.
So we're doing one tomorrow and we're doing one Thursday?
That's right.
Who's under the illusion that people really want to hear two in a week?
Who's under the illusion that we get paid for this? So we're going to go ahead and do it anyway and give the gang a chance to sort of analyze the election results from today for you tomorrow. I think the election results will be interesting today. What with, you know, this feels like a general election more than a primary, because in Cook County, the Democrat ballots are just so doggone important. But then also this year, you have such an interesting gubernatorial race, and the incumbent, obviously, I'm not telling you anything you don't know, is being challenged. Bruce Rauner has Rauner's being challenged by Jeannie Ives, who's running hard to the right and making that election very interesting. And J.B. Pritzker is spending many tens of millions of dollars on his run at the primary level.
Yeah, I can't think of an election primary in the past where there have been this many races. I don't know how close they'll turn out to be.
They have
the potential to be very close.
Yeah.
I'm very interested, too, in the Dan Lipinski race in the Southwest Side, the Chicago congressman, who is being, you know, primaried to the extreme, just like, you know, we talk a lot about Republicans being challenged from the right. Well, here's a middle-of-the-road Democrat being challenged from the left. We'll see where the party decides for that to go. So that's a good story, too, I think.
And, of course, I think mother of all of these interesting races has become the Cook County Assessor's Office, which is normal.
For the first time in the history of the office.
I think nationwide. I don't think America has never seen an Assessor's Office race so compelling. So there's Joe Berrios, the incumbent. Then you have a couple of challengers. And one of them, a woman named Andrea Reyla's name is supposed to be on the ballot. And it is. But in at least some of the precincts, people are being handed notices when they go to vote saying, don't vote for her. A vote for her won't count by court order. There have been some controversies about her name being on the ballot or not. But my understanding is it is there legitimately so. We talked to her. She seemed to be a upright, you know, a reasonable person. And yet she had this problem getting her name on the ballot. Now it appears there. In some of the places you're being told not to vote for, it won't count. In fact, I believe that's not true. Well, in fact, Steve, you just told us that's not true.
The votes for her will count.
Will count.
According to the Chicago Board of Elections.
Small consolation for you if you wanted to vote for her and didn't because you were told not to. And very small consolation for her campaign because that's just not the way it's supposed to be.
And so, again, you spoke to three different judges in your precinct saying,
correct,
the candidate told me directly, votes for her count. I have this understanding.
I had two separate conversations with three judges.
So
all nice people, by
right.
the way. I'm not even faulting them. I think they were genuinely given wrong information. They didn't know. Right? I mean, they went and picked up the ballot, their envelopes, their packets, whatever the stuff is they set up. And they were specifically told to give people like me these green and white notices.
This is Chicago, right? And so if you look to shenanigans,
yeah,
I don't know who's in control of your particular precinct or anything like that, but her absence from the ballot was thought to benefit Fritz Kagi. The guy with the most clout in the race is Joe Berrios, who's the Democratic Party chairman. It doesn't. I mean, if you were writing a spy novel, it doesn't quite fit along those lines.
You know what I'm saying?
I'm not going to directly accuse anyone of anything, but it just, you know, typically in the old days the party would control these things. Well, this screw up seems to benefit the party boss. Seems to benefit. Yeah, it does. It would hurt the party boss if people didn't vote for her.
Well, this is right, because more votes then would go to Kagi. Kagi is seen by some as a more legitimate challenger.
If you're going
to
vote anti-Berrios, it's better for Kagi if you only got one person to vote for rather than two.
Yeah, right. If you were doing this, you wouldn't do that. Well, that's why I'm telling you, Steve, I started the show today saying, applauding and thanking the judges. The job doesn't pay well. It's thankless work. And you're like a fireman sitting there, and it's boring most of the time unless suddenly a fire happens, and then you've got to figure out how to put it out. And lo and behold, it appears that at least in some of the polling places, we have that. Jim Allen joins us from the Cook County Board of Elections, and maybe he can help us, as he did on that conference call a moment ago, just to understand some of this. Hi, Jim. You're on WGN Radio again. Welcome back. How are you?
Afternoon. So just to be clear, we're with the Chicago Election Board. So we handle
I said Cook County, didn't I? Yeah.
That's okay. 2,069 precincts inside the city of Chicago.
2,069 precincts inside Chicago?
Yes, sir.
2,069 different places where people get to vote? Not that many, right?
No, not that many.
Yeah. Steve was only able to play a clip from your conference call. Can you just give me an expanded version of what happened here or may have happened here?
Certainly. When the circuit court removed a candidate from the assessor's contest back in February, We prepared north of 400,000 notices and another 2,000 signs, one for each polling place, per the court order, that this candidate has been removed. It was too late to, you know, remove the candidate from the printed ballot or from the touchscreens. So we were doing everything under the court's order, trying to be Boy Scouts and notify the voters all the way through early voting and to prepare for Election Day so that these notices would be available. Then the appellate court ruled, after all of these election materials had been printed, loaded, locked up into election supply carriers and delivered to polling places all across the city, the appellate court issues a decision that says a candidate is back on the ballot. So now we prepared a new set of black and white notices that we gave out to the judges of election when they picked up their keys over the weekend. And those new notices simply reflected the one court order on the county clerk's office, not the county assessor's office, and they included instructions: do not give out the green and white notices. Do not post any of the green and white signs. So we outsmarted ourselves by one detail. Back when the circuit court issued its order, we had four different messages about opening the polling place. One is about split precincts and getting out all the right ballot styles so that everybody would vote on the correct ballot. And the others were on similar messages. And another one that we programmed back when the circuit court removed the candidate, we had that message, that text message go out saying, be sure to hand out the green and white notices. So that's a bad on us. We've since sent out six different text messages saying, do not hand out the green and white notices. Do not, under any circumstances. We had technicians go out to the polling places and scoop these up.
I was given one a little after 9 o'clock this morning.
Right. So we've had technicians go out and scoop these up. And we've tried to avoid, we haven't had any problems since then.
I suspect you're right about that, but I don't know how much of a consolation that will be for the candidate, Andrea Rayla. Do you know what happens or could or should happen to rectify this?
No, this was a difficult situation with a court decision that came down not long before Election Day that affected a significant countywide race. And as we said, when that court ruling came out, we did everything in our powers to make it clear to remove the notices from all the early voting sites. But we also noted at the time that it was going to be difficult to get that message out of people's ears. It was going to be difficult to restore this. This is a case that went on until the middle of February.
Yeah, no,
And then the court decision happens 6 days before Election Day, affecting ballots and voting systems for 3,600 precincts. This is unprecedented.
Jim, have you heard from the candidate today?
Don't care to go into that area. We have to be as neutral as possible. When people are in the process of voting, I'm telling you about the voting administration process, but I don't want to get into any exchanges as far as
you may be the wrong person to ask this question to, Jim, but I guarantee it's going to get asked and somebody needs to answer it. So then what happens? I mean, I understand how complicated this was and how challenging the timing became of it. I don't envy you for the task. This is gigantic. I can see how a diligent person might yet make this mistake. The question is, what's the remedy for that? I don't know that you have, I don't know, do you have an answer for that?
The remedy is to count the votes, and then the candidates can take action after that. If, you know, in any election, whether it's particularly when there are close contests, the remedy is available for the candidates to take action after that. But I don't want to suggest what the remedy can or should be in this case. Right now, we have an election to run, and we'll count all the ballots. We'll count all the votes for all three candidates for assessor, and we'll report those tonight.
And then from there, it's up to the parties to determine what they want to do.
Jim, I don't mean to put you in the spot then, but we're hearing about affidavits.
You don't mean to, but you're going to?
Well, no, I'm not, maybe.
You'll be the judge of that.
I'll ask you the question, and you can go from there.
All right.
But, you know, we're hearing from Rayla's camp about these affidavits that have been signed about people who wanted to vote and were told they were not. I'm assuming that those affidavits are not filed or presented to the Board of Elections today, right? So my question to you is, have people presented affidavits to you officially complaining that they couldn't vote in the way that they thought they should?
I'm not aware of that. I'm dealing with 100 other issues, and that's not one of them.
Do you know how many different places the green notices went, the erroneous green notices went to?
Well, keep in mind, when they were created, they were very much... they were non-erroneous. They were actual.
I understand. No, they were the court order.
So, I mean,
I understand that. But how many places got the green notices that should not have? How many places handed these out that should not have?
I don't know.
More than 10?
I don't know. I'm not going to venture a guess.
And when you said that you did everything in your power to correct the situation after they were handed out, what were those steps? The six text messages?
Six different text messages, plus we sent out technicians to scoop up and make sure that there was no signage and that, you know, notices were not being handed out. So we've not had any complaints since this morning, any documentation of people with, you know, photos or anything like that being sent to us. So this happened early in the morning and did not happen significantly after that.
Jim Allen is a spokesperson for the Chicago Board of Elections. I hear your phone ringing in the background. I know you're busy, Jim. We may call you yet one more time, but I appreciate your time with us this afternoon.
No, thank you.
Okay, take care.
You know, in his defense, they are at the whim of the courts and different orders and things like that. And I know that
you do 400,000 of these. You print up 2,000 signs, and 6 days before the election, the court comes down with a 180-degree different decision.
Even right? If that morning they came down with a different decision, call all the precincts and say, don't hand these out.
Violetta, they said that they did. And if you heard the sound I played earlier, they said they also sent texts to all the judges. And
3,600. I mean, it just strikes me as the job is bigger than they can handle, right? I mean, don't you guys get the sense of that, too?
Well,
How many different places are there? How many different judges are there, right? I mean, I'm not saying that's an maybe that's the explanation as to how this got away from them.
I think the problem is, you know, sometimes these things change, which makes it difficult. You're also dealing, you know, you started with your John Williams tribute to the election judge.
I did.
You know, the people who, some of them have been doing it for 20, 30, 40 years. And
then there were some young guys at my place, too. Some guys who I would venture were in their late 20s.
But my point is that they are essentially volunteers in many ways.
Sure.
So it's not as if it's in a corporate environment.
And they don't do this every day.
Right. So, but it's not like it's a corporate environment where, you know, Jim or the Board of Elections can send out an email to everyone and everyone gets it and goes along. It's a pretty disparate sort of affair, makes it more difficult.
Yeah, but still, if I'm Andrea Rayla, oh boy.
Well, we'll see what happens. I mean, you know, once they count the votes, too. If she loses by 74, then she's got a pretty good case.
Oh, no. I think if she loses by a million votes, I think she has a 100% case here. I think this just cannot. I just think whatever the cost is, whatever the inconvenience is, whatever the results are, this is my citizen's opinion, then she is due a special election to rectify this. You cannot, at some of the places where people are going to vote, hand people a notice. Putin didn't have this going for him. You can't hand somebody a notice saying don't vote for the opponent. I've got it right here.
I just don't think a text message is sufficient. I was an election judge, and I know the type of people. There's a lot of elderly people that also work these gigs.
That's true. But how are they going to get to all of the election judges?
They go to one. There's one person in charge of each.
He described
precinct.
That person. Okay, but I don't know if that person communicated with it. Yeah, I presume that person would then spend all day at that precinct and make sure that it was run correctly. I don't know how many of those people there are, Violetta. Something went wrong. Chris is voting in Chicago. You're on WGN. Chris, jump in there. What's up?
Yeah, I just voted here over on Grace in Laverne on the northwest side of the city, and texted you guys a picture. They're not handing out anything there, but when you go into the, you know, to cast your vote, they give you your ballot, and it has the notice to all Democratic voters. The green sign is posted where you do your voting at.
And what's, do you know the exact address of where you were?
3807 North Levine.
3807 North Levine. We would do them a favor, Elif, to call them and tell them.
And I can go in there and talk to them if you want. It's the Christ of Our Savior Church.
Christ of Our Savior Church, 3807. Tell them what you heard on the radio and just say, hey, you folks should call your supervisors and make sure that you're executing it correctly.
On the radio, WGN.
Well, and it's not just the radio, WGN. It's the Chicago Board of Elections just talked to us and said those signs should come down.
So, okay, I'll definitely go in there and let them know. Great people working here, but I'll let them know. And
That's it. They're nice people. They just they evidently didn't get the information. Chris, you need to do that, and then call me back, okay?
All right, I'll call you guys right back.
Thank you, sir. Okay, that guy Chris went back into the polling place on Grace and has now come back out. He's picked up his phone again. Chris, this is John. You're back on WGN. How are you?
Good, John. I went back in there, and they seemed to not really know about it, so that was kind of scary. But then they, you know, I told them about it, and I showed them the photo, and they actually just took them down. So I don't know which is more scary, that they didn't know about it, or that I went in there and told them to take them down, and they actually did it.
Well, the what did you show
they
them?
Didn't
what,
remove it.
What photo did you show them?
I showed them the photo that I took when I was in the when I was voting. So when I took when I was voting, I took a photo of the sign that I texted you guys that basically said that she was off the ballot, and then so I basically went in there and showed them a photo and said that, you know, everyone's basically saying that she is on the ballot and you guys need to take that down, and then they just took it down.
So I'm sorry to make you repeat, but so you in where you were voting, you saw a flyer that said her votes, the votes for her would not count.
Correct.
Was it green and white?
Yeah, I texted it to you guys, too, as well.
Yeah, I've got it.
This was actually in your little polling booth?
Yes, in the polling, in all the polling booths.
And this was just within the past hour?
Yeah, 2:10 probably about 15, 20 minutes ago.
Yeah, he called us 5 minutes ago, Steve.
I'm sorry, what ward are you in?
45th, I believe.
And the address for the polling place where this was up as of 5-10 minutes ago was...
Yeah, they literally just took it down right before I called you. It'll be 3807
North Levine.
North Levine.
Not Laverne, Levine?
That's a good question. The one just west of Grace.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, just west of Cicero.
Okay. Well, that's nowhere near arrival.
L-A-V-E-R-G-N-E.
Yeah, Laverne.
Yeah,
that's funny because that's I had the same thing happen to me, but it was not anywhere near there. So we're in different places in the city. All right. Yeah. Listen, Chris, I sure appreciate your help. You're right. I don't know what's more alarming, that they have it wrong or that somebody said, hey, take down those signs. And they did that. If they did that just now, they got it right, though. So we got that going for us 4.5 hours before the polls close. Thank you for the call, Chris. We really appreciate your help.
You.
Have a good day.
Bye.
It's 2:30. More news on WGN after this. 2:38. Steve, a friend of mine just texted me. We're asking questions about how this could happen. This election for Cook County Assessor could be compromised because people were given the inappropriate information at some of the voting places. And it was a one-word text. It simply said, Russians. But I don't think they're drilling down that far. I don't think they're getting into the Cook County Assessor's race. And that's the only one that is throwing off question marks this afternoon, or if you voted, say, this morning. But literally, a caller just before Steve's news called in to say, hey, I just voted, and they've still got the notices up saying don't vote for Andrea Rayla. We said, go back in and tell them you just heard on WGN radio that the Chicago Board of Elections spokesperson said that those votes should count and that those notices should not go out. And so he came back on the phone and said, I told them to take the signs down, and they did, which is the correct thing to do unless just somebody off the street tells you to do it. Now they're in a damned if you do, damned if you don't situation on off of Cicero, on Laverne. But
that was a Nelson Algren book, Damned If You Do, Damned If You Don't, off of Cicero. Well, you know, there's just great drama in this race because— Joe Berrios, you've talked a lot about the record of the assessor's office. The Tribune and ProPublica has written a lot about it. But he's also the Democratic Party chairman. So you would think he has a lot of clout in the wards. In recent weeks, there have been reports, though, that some of the wards instead might get behind Kagi and might not be supporting their boss, their party boss, Joe Berrios. So you've got all these different fiefdoms working for different candidates here.
But you're the one that pointed out, and I think it's smart to do so, Steve, that if you're looking for a conspiracy theory, this is not how it would logically play out.
Well, yeah, but give enough time, you can come up with another one. I mean, you could say...
Because the logic is that if you, as a Cook County, if the machine in Chicago were going to try and manipulate the election to favor the incumbent, Joe Berrios, then they would not be doing this. They would be encouraging you to vote for Rayla, because that would split the votes between the other two candidates running against him on the Democratic ballot.
It would split the anti-Berrios vote.
Absolutely. So if you consolidated in one candidate, in this case it would be Fritz Kagi, the only other name that appeared after Rayla and Berrios, then that would help the opposition. They would not want to be doing that.
Yeah, and I don't want to, you know, this is pure fiction right now, okay? I have no evidence of anything, and I do not mean to impugn anyone. But if you are a committeeman, or you are an alderman, or you are someone who controls precincts, and you're tired of Berrios, and you do want Kagi to win, and then you control those polling places in your precinct, it would benefit you to keep those signs up.
Well, there sure has been pressure for something to happen here. I mean, just, I'm telling you, I think that I won't say unprecedented, but it's not that often at this level the Tribune pounds away on one particular ballot issue, and they have been on this one. And I don't just mean the reporting by Jason Grotto and ProPublica and the Tribune reporters. I mean, literally, on the editorial page, they've been running a series of reasons not to vote for the incumbent in this case. That just doesn't happen all of the time, particularly within a race that is that small geographically. It's not a state, it's not the governor's race we're talking about here.
This potentially, though, is also maybe encouraging people to vote for her. You know, since this whole afternoon, all we've talked about is her.
Poor Andrea Rayla. Yeah. If you wanted a sympathy vote, I guess that would be her case. But I think she's going to make that case to more than just us. I think she's going to take legal action. I believe her attorney has said as much. By the way, what was the text that you read, Elif?
847 says, voting in the Village Hall in Arlington Heights 2 weeks ago, Andrea Rayla's name was crossed out with a ballpoint pen. The Republican election judge told me not to vote for her because my vote would be invalidated.
Well, 2 weeks ago, that was correct.
Isn't that interesting? But I think this just furthers the case that she's just getting jobbed here.
But there's a happy ending.
How's
Andrea
that?
Is my friend, so I didn't listen.
In this case, there was a happy ending. Maybe they still voted for her, and maybe that vote will count. But what about the people who weren't friends and didn't go against the wishes of the judge?
It's one of the problems of early voting. I mean, you can't.
That is true.
They can't live together.
Things can change right up to the election. I mean, just think about the last presidential election and the sort of revelations that took place 10 days before voting. I don't know if that would have changed anybody's votes or not, but you just don't know what's going to happen until you cast your ballot, either with a candidate or with a ruling about a candidate in this case.
That's why I always vote at 6:58 on election day.
You have not voted yet, Steve.
No, not yet.
You have the benefit of at least all of this information. Now know. Do you vote in Cook County?
I don't.
This is Cook County. Yeah, this is
right.
Cook County. Although we were talking to the Chicago Board of Elections city spokesperson.
Although if I get a flyer telling me there that I can't vote for her, now that's going to be big too.
Yeah, we know that you couldn't, but we still don't want you. Just to make sure. And in fact, you can if you want to. If you have a Democratic ballot in Cook County, Andrea Rayla's name will appear on the ballot, and you can vote for her. And if you choose to, that vote will count, we're being told, despite what you might have seen otherwise. It's 2:44.
A quick number, too, though. Early voting's 86,000 in the city residents have cast a ballot in Cook County.
8,600 or 86,000?
86,000, which is more than 2010 and 2014 combined.
Yeah, I totally believe that.
I heard
the numbers.
It's more than double the last midterm primary, so 2016. But that, again, that's just the city. That's not the county.
Right. Fair enough. I mean, but the bottom line here is, right, a lot more people are voting in this election.
And they would have cast their ballots when they couldn't vote for her.
Yeah. I'm telling you what, if I'm a judge, I think you're going to have to do this one all over again. Is that Cicero? That's the name of the caller? Are they on? If you're not on Cicero, would you go to Cicero?
No, I am Cicero, but I live in Markham, but that's my name.
Oh, because I know a guy named Mark who lives in Cicero. Anyway, Cicero from Markham, what can I do for you?
This was in Thursday's Red Eye. The guy, Thursday's Red Eye, and it said, page 24, notice to all Democratic voters. 82 Andrea Rayliff was removed as a candidate for Cook County Assessor by court order. Votes for 82 Andrea Rayliff will not underline, be counted, or reported. Then they have the sample ballot. And then it says under that, 75 Dan Kowalski McDonald was removed as a candidate for Cook for county clerk by court order.
Yeah, I have that too.
So, and it says under the bottom, it says, Chicago Board of Election Commissioners. I was trying to see the whole page, and I don't know how to do this.
And here's what I think is the truth, Cicero, that was true at the time. But since then, a different court overruled that court order, and so she became a legitimate candidate again after that was published.
Order?
Say it again.
I listened all weekend. When was the court order? Ask the question when you call them back. The guy from the election board.
Yeah. Okay. That's it. I don't know the exact court order per se, like who the judge was. And frankly, I probably should be a little clearer about that.
It was an appellate court ruling, so it was several judges.
But why did they overrule a previous one? And how do you rectify this are all good questions. Cicero, thanks for reading that to us. I appreciate the call.
Thank you. Love you guys.
Have a good day. And thank you for voting and being a good United States citizen. Jordan Clarkson is here's the wiki, professional basketball player for the Cleveland Cavaliers of the National Basketball Association. He played college basketball for two seasons with Tulsa before transferring to Missouri, where he earned second-team all-conference honors in the Southeast Conference. If you forego, what's the past tense of forego?
Forewent.
Well, that doesn't sound right. He forewent his senior year?
It's correct.
How are you so sure?
He foregoed.
He foregone?
I know.
He foregoed.
It's definitely not foregoed. I was kidding.
No. It's forewent.
How are you so sure of that? Have you used
because
that before?
I read and write a lot.
Yeah.
I think it's forewent.
Well, I read sometimes too, and I've never heard forewent. Go ahead and use it in a sentence with confidence.
I forewent the exam because I didn't feel like taking it.
Because I'm so damn smart. Yeah. Okay. He forewent his senior year in college to enter the 2014 NBA draft, was selected by the Wizards. He's played for the Cavaliers and the Lakers. Okay, so why am I telling you about Jordan Clarkson? Because this is a man who has 3 years of college education in the kinds of schools that you would pay dearly to get your kids a college education for. I mean, Missouri ain't a bad school. And I'll bet Tulsa's got some fancy professors and a quad. Everything you'd hope for in a college education. So he was on a podcast, and they were talking about a bunch of things, and they were kidding around. And naturally, the subject came up of dinosaurs and Elvis Presley.
He doesn't believe in Elvis. And he doesn't believe in dinosaurs.
Hold on. How don't you believe in Elvis?
I don't believe in dinosaurs either.
What?
Well, no, I actually do. I believe that.
What?
All right, this is going to get a little crazy, all right?
Oh.
So,
hold on.
I'm going to take y'all a little left on this. All right, so y'all know how we got dogs and stuff, right?
Right.
So, I think it was bigger people in the world before us. And, like, the dinosaurs was they pets.
Yeah. Yeah. On a leash.
Yeah.
Like a pet. Hey, quit all that, making all that noise.
Yeah.
So how big were these people?
Oh, you look at a dinosaur, they got to be 3 times bigger than them.
Where are their bones?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the conspiracy. But it's a good question, though, isn't it? If dinosaurs, which you know how are big, witness Sue over here, who's been, confined to the back room at the Field Museum, but whatever. If Sue was a pet, then how big does the person have to be, and where are those giant human bones? Let's go into the sports department. Kevin, your thoughts. Go.
I don't know what's going on in the NBA, but this is like Kyrie Irving. He's the flat earth truther.
Yes.
Yeah.
I was thinking of, okay, because I was thinking, I know some famous people who missed a lot of their early years of education. You know, I don't know how they didn't get it, but they missed some big things. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, here's Sherry Shepherd talking about the shape of the planet Earth on The View.
Is the world flat? Is the world flat?
Yes.
I don't know.
What do you think?
I never thought about it, Whoopi. Is the world flat? I never thought about it.
I never thought about whether the world was round or flat.
But I tell you what I've thought about, how I'm going to feed my child, how I'm
going to
take care of my family. The world, is the world flat, has never entered into, that has not been an important thing to me.
Hasn't come up. I love that righteous indignation. I haven't had time to think about whether the world is round. I'm trying to feed my kids.
Well, that's one of those things you don't have to think much about because other people have done it for you.
Right. I'm not an astronaut. That's okay. Right. We've got some. They went up there and it's round.
Is there really a moon? Because I haven't been there.
Thanks to Galileo, our teachers all told us this.
I know. It's like you can just shut anything down because you've got the ultimate trump card. I don't have to answer that. I don't have to know that because I'm trying to feed my kids. Would you rather I know that the world is round and my kids go hungry? I can't do both.
I'm thinking maybe the human large bones are at the bottom of the ocean.
They're at the bottom of the ocean.
Because they were dipping their feet and then...
Former White Sox player Carl Everett didn't believe in dinosaurs because there was no biblical mention of them.
Yeah. Well, the Bible is not a...
I mean, being religious is kind of an excuse. If you're going to have an excuse, it's better than feeding your kids.
Well, okay, so here's, speaking of religion, Pat Robertson. Did you know that Pat Robertson says that, you know, if you ask God to help you do things, you can do amazing things? Pat Robertson bench-pressed with his legs 2,000 pounds. Pat Robertson!
But can he leg-press 2,000 pounds?
But it was one time. I don't want to... One time.
One time?
Yeah.
And the Christian Broadcasting Network has even posted photos of him doing it. More perspective on the magnitude of this claim. The college football record for leg press is 1,335 pounds. That would mean that the 73-year-old, and not particularly buff 73-year-old Pat Robertson, has legs stronger than the strongest college football player.
Yeah, I used to warm up my leg presses. I warmed up at 500 pounds, and then I went up from there.
Throw around some 500s and then just get on that thing, put his back down, and push up 2,000 pounds when he was 73.
And God helped him do that?
I think that's what he was saying.
I wish he would have asked for something, you know, more important for God to help him with.
I know.
Did he say God helped him with it?
Yeah. It's like
God gave him the power.
Cancer, world peace.
Anything other than leg presses?
Move my center of gravity, God, please. Make the earth round.
I know. And then God goes, okay, I will, but psych, it's already been done. You just blew a whole wish. Wait, I'm thinking of genies in the bottle. Yeah. Not.
I think that was Aladdin. And you get three of those.
Ana de Volantis is in the studio. Hi, AD.
Hi there. Happy spring.
Happy spring.
Happy election day and happy spring.
Happy primary day.
We'll be addressing both on the show today. We've got Tom Skilling talking about the vernal equinox and some interesting weather phenomenon he would like to tell us about. Have you heard of these Chicago Henge? Does that ring a bell to you at all?
No.
It's when the grid of the city will align with the sun as it sets in between the buildings, and some pretty pictures are out there too. So it's something
Instagram
to
worthy,
very Insta worthy. And I had never celebrated it before, but that's out there.
Is there alcohol involved?
I'm not sure.
That's up to your discretion.
Yeah. Okay,
it's kind of up to you.
I don't know why I even asked that.
Make a party around it.
Whatever. Yeah.
We have AB Stoddard talking national politics with us to tell us what's going on there. But of course, we'll be covering the local election throughout the evening here on WGN. And we've got Pat Brady's going to stop by. We've got the Ben Bradley from over at Bradley Place. He's going to talk to us. And Tom Ahern of the ATF about the serial bomber in Austin.
Yeah, what a crazy story, huh? Hopefully that's the last of that, but we'll be listening. Have a good show.
Thank you very much.